Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I know, Steve, that you were talking to us out of what we have all come to really enjoy, John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, and about offense. I mean, we've kind of just taken our time, and you've been sharing from that time to time. And it's really been great. I mean, the last one we shared was about not being a spiritual vagabond and how offense, if not dealt with, could keep you totally disconnected from your destiny and from what God wants to do in your life. I mean, talked about, hey, listen, we need each other. No man's an island. No man stands alone. And if family, you know, not just anybody, we're not talking about anybody pointing things out, but if family can't point something out, spiritual family that loves you, cares for you, wants to see God's best for you, who's poured into you, discipled you, taught you the word of God, prayed for you, if they can't share,
who can? Yeah.
Who can? Somebody's got to be willing to tell you something.
Yeah.
Right? And because of that, if we go through the process, then we can actually be prepared to be an instrument, a tool used in the master's hand. And the issue with Saul that we talked about was that Saul didn't have process. Saul feared men. He didn't fear God. And the difference between Saul and David was that David had process. He had some time in the cave. You know what I'm saying? He had some time to run in.
That's right.
But Saul didn't. And because that was never dealt with in Saul's life, Saul wound up losing the kingdom, and God wound up saying that he repented the day that he ever made Saul king.
Right. Yeah, and it's just like thinking about the fact, like what you're talking about, it's those closest to us that we have to be open to speak truth in our lives. And God was really getting my attention this morning because I was thinking about the fact of the closeness of the disciples with Jesus. And you think about it, they spent 3 years with Jesus, day in, day out, breakfast, lunch, dinner, sunrise, sunset with Jesus. And in the last moments that Jesus was spending with his disciples, they had the Last Supper. And I think about it because there was that moment when Jesus made known to his disciples that there's somebody at this table who's going to betray me. And I think about the fact that there was never a greater time that any one of those disciples could have taken offense than the person who was closest to you was calling you out and was basically saying, hey, just want to give you guys a heads up. One of you guys is going to betray me.
Right.
And how quickly a spirit of pride could have just been like, no, not me, not me, not me. And when you can read about this is in Luke 22, is that when Jesus shared this, the word says that an argument broke out between the disciples about who's going to be greater in the kingdom. And you just like, wait, back up. What just got laid out in this conversation that Jesus, you know, you think about moments ago, Peter received the revelation who Jesus was. And then Jesus was being made known to all the disciples that, hey, I'm about to be betrayed. And how quickly they just focus back on themselves.
All right.
And it so caught my attention because in the midst of, I mean, I can just hear them bantering back and forth, and Jesus is talking about, you know, who needs to be the greatest. You know, is it the one who serves? Is it the one who sits at the table? But I'm amongst you, and I'm serving you. And then in Luke 22, verse 31, this is Jesus saying, Simon. And I can just picture Jesus trying to get Simon's attention amongst all 12 of them, going back and forth, you know, cups of wine are getting spilt over because people are starting to get physical and talking. And Jesus says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fall. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And it's just like, can you imagine at that moment when Peter is just in the midst of talking and Jesus gets his attention and he looks at him and then he says, Satan has asked to sift you. Talk about a paradigm moment. And to think about the fact that Jesus knew the most difficult storm that Peter was about to walk into.
Mm.
Jesus didn't, you know, pray against that storm, you know, because immediately we would say, you know, I bind that storm. I just come against the attacks of the devil.
Ooh.
And this is what John Bevere writes in his book, The Bait of Satan. He says, Jesus did not pray that Simon Peter would escape this intense shaking to the point of overthrow. He prayed that his faith would not fail in the process. That process that you talked about that David had, that Saul did not.
Right.
He prayed that his faith would not fail in the process. Jesus knew that out of this trial would emerge a new character, the one Simon Peter needed to fulfill his destiny and strengthen his brethren. Satan had requested permission to shake Simon Peter so severely that he would lose his faith. That's what Satan wants for us, is for us to get shaken so bad that we lose the fact of we're focusing on Jesus. He says the enemy's intent was to destroy this man of great potential who had received so much revelation that Jesus, you are the Christ. But God had a different purpose for the shaking. And as always, God's way ahead of the devil. He allowed the enemy to do this in order to shake everything in Simon Peter that needed to be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there's some things in me that have got to get shaken out of my life that I think are important, because I'm thinking back on that revelation that God revealed to me, like, man, I got this. Or you just think about, we rely on the fact of what God's speaking to us, but God's just like, no, I gave this to you so that you can hold on to this, because I'm about to take you through this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get offended thinking about that hardship. But if you think about it, though, is Satan had to go to Jesus to say, hey, can I do this to this guy? And Jesus is like, yeah, that's cool. I'll pray for you. Meaning Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how many times have I gone through those difficulties in my life, and I start coming against the hardships or the difficulties instead of just saying, Jesus, strengthen my faith.
Yeah.
Strengthen my just picture and my focus on you to get through this, because this is meant to strengthen my faith and get rid of that which is
holding you back.
Exactly.
James talks about how we should welcome our trials as friends, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
And the trials and the tribulations, you know, like I was, you know, you said earlier, can you get this away? This is not of God. Get this out of my, I rebuke this.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute. God will use what he wants to use in your life to fulfill the purposes that he had for you. Mm-hmm. Because last time, you know, I checked, I didn't plan my own birth. You know what I mean? I think he was in control of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's trying to do something. That's the whole thing. God is doing something. He's writing a story, and it's like, don't mess it up and participate with what he wants to do. Because at the end of this, when these light and momentary troubles, light and momentary troubles are going to produce in you something that's as far greater than gold. It's going to last, you know. Oftentimes people want the testimony but don't want to go through the test.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to go through have a testimony. They went through the fire but don't even want to see smoke, flames, nothing. It's like, no.
Yeah,
it's in the process. It's in the process of God allowing things to heat up so that the junk and everything else can be taken out. Burnt out.
It wouldn't stall.
And as Guy was speaking to John Bevere during this, you know, when he was getting into the Word, he says that God spoke to his wife about the process of things that are getting shaken. And there's a purpose for things getting shaken in our lives. And John Bevere writes that this is what God spoke to his wife. He said, the purposes for shaking an object is a few things. To bring it closer to its foundation, to remove what is dead, to harvest what is ripe, to awaken, and to unify or mix together so that it can no longer be separated. And it was just like, there's a purpose for things that are getting shaken in our lives.
It's a purpose for everything that God's doing. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Thing is, are we going to cooperate with what God is saying and doing, or we're going to run from it? Are we going to be one that draws close, or we're going to be a spiritual vagabond and say, oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. And you got to determine at a certain point in your life, you know, how much of God do you want? How desperate are you for God? And do you want to be used by God? Let me tell you something. Life is but a vapor. We're here today, and we're going to be gone tomorrow. And from the moment that you are born, there's like a there's a time clock here. You know what I'm saying? You're born to die, and no one's promised tomorrow.
That's right.
Choose today to say, you know what? I'm not going to despise the trials or the tribulations or the struggles, but I'm going to understand that nothing can come at me, towards me, against me that God had not allowed. So God, help me to redeem this trial. Help me to redeem this situation for your purposes, and help me to go through this, Lord, so that I can get process in my life so that I can be prepared for the master's use.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.